Are you looking for ways to attract and retain private pay clients? Thrizer is a payment platform for therapists built to help clients automatically tap into their out-of-network benefits and save on therapy up front. Check out our special link, join.thrizer.com/modern therapist, and use the code modernTherapists to activate $2,500 in free payments with Thrizer.
Simplified SEO Consulting has DIY done with you training and done for you SEO options. So there is truly something to fit every practice owner's SEO needs. Check them out at simplifiedseoconsulting.com/modern therapist and use the code modern therapist for a DIY course or mention the Modern Therapist Survival Guide podcast during your consult for special offers.
You're listening to the Modern Therapist Survival Guide, where therapists live, breathe, and practice as human beings. To support you as a whole person and a therapist, here are your hosts, Kurt Widhelm and Katie Vernoy.
Welcome back, Modern Therapists. This is the Modern Therapist Survival Guide. I'm Kurt Widhelm with Katie Vernoy, and this is the podcast that talks about all sorts of things that affects therapists. And this episode, we are specifically looking at burnout during COVID-19 and the way that that's affecting us. And to be honest, this is not an episode that has a whole lot of groundbreaking new stuff. This is kind of putting together a bunch of stuff from before. But it really feels like a lot of us are struggling through some things. We're seeing some articles all over the place, from journal articles, some popular media articles. We'll get into those here in the episode a little bit about just how therapists are struggling themselves during this time. And we're part of that frontline healthcare workforce that's supposed to be getting out there and helping people. I know in my practice, I am busier than ever with clients calling back in, old people who, you know, terminated with me a couple of years ago, returning, and it's hard. And we're hearing this from a lot of our modern therapist community as well. And we wanted to go through just kind of a reminder of some of the things that can help people, why we're in this situation in the first place, and specifically why therapists are struggling in the way that we do. We are going to attempt to do this with a sense of humor to kind of lighten the mood a little bit here. But
although I don't know we have much of a sense of humor left, we're going to try.
Yes. So this is something where we've seen some articles kind of throughout the pandemic about healthcare workers. Many of those articles focus on the medical doctors, the frontline healthcare professionals who deal with the physical end of things, the EMTs, the nurses, the people who are very much deserving to be having the first articles written about them.
Yes. And they're on the front lines in very visceral ways, very physical ways. I feel like oftentimes therapists are more on the front lines in emotional ways. But the word that came to mind as you were starting to describe this was kind of this more mundane, like we're dealing with people talking on a screen. So it doesn't feel as dramatic. It's not as good articles.
And throughout all of our work on this podcast, we look for a lot of articles that deal with mental health care, workforce sort of issues, and studies about therapists. And it's just not an area of the field that's studied or looked at a whole lot. You know, most of our articles are written about what therapists should do to clients. They don't really look at what's going on with therapists. And that's a big inspiration for why we have this podcast in the first place. Getting into some of the whys, though, of why we're in our particular situation now, why a lot of therapists are feeling this funk, I'm looking at an article from the Asian Journal of Psychiatry called Burnout, a Risk Factor Amongst Mental Health Professionals During COVID-19. And this is by Joshi and Sharma. And they describe, they're talking about the mental health workforce in India, but I think at this point, this applies to pretty much all over the world.
Sure.
A number of factors that go into the particular issues that affect mental health care workers. And the first thing that they identified is a thing that they call emotional contagion and perceived stress. And this is the negative feelings and emotions of one person can directly trigger similar emotions in another person. And with a lot of us as therapists that we take on the feelings that our clients have, you know, call it countertransference, call it whatever, but it's a very real thing that affects us. And especially, you know, as Katie mentions, that we're taking this on the screens, that, you know, trying to provide hope to other people in this time of not knowing what's coming next is just kind of really hard because we don't know what's coming next.
Well, and I think there's been times, and I think I talked about this in one of the first episodes that we did after, you know, quarantine and then the pandemic, is sometimes I'm finding out the news from my clients. And so I'm reacting in real time. There are elements of the situations, whether it's the pandemic or the system of government or, you know, racial injustice or any of the hot topics, you know, kind of issues that we're facing as a society. Sometimes we're finding out about them right before a session, during a session, after a session, when we haven't figured out what this client was talking about. Like there's just so much going on, and then processing our reactions at the same time that they're processing their reactions, can, I would imagine, that would heighten the emotionality of the situation and the contagion in that situation.
And this leads to Joshi and Sharma's second point, which is compassion fatigue. Now, we've discussed compassion fatigue before, but very much building off of what Katie was just talking there, is therapists during this ongoing pandemic are not staying as centered and objective about things. So they're getting over-involved with their clients because it's a different sort of connection that we have over screens. We see people in their more natural environment a little bit. We hear, you know, kids screaming in the background. We see pets running in and out. We see people in their own despair, in their own environment. I know for some of the clients that I have that are facing issues around depression, that it's so much more visceral seeing them stuck in their own environment than even in that same depression as if they'd come into my office.
Well, and to acknowledge that there are modern therapists who are potentially doing walk and talk therapy or in their offices or those kinds of things, there's still this element, I think, of being in it together, being in it in a different way. Like there's a human interaction that's happening around navigating mask or no mask. How are we going to keep each other safe? You know, or do we both believe in it? Like there's a human element that hasn't been there before, I think, or maybe not in the same way, that really allows the therapist to drop some of the, I think, professional armor that we typically wear to keep those boundaries up. And I think there's also, I mean, and we call for being a whole person therapist and bring yourself into the room. And I think that's harder to do when there's so much to respond to and so much humanity that you're facing with your work.
The article goes on to talk about secondary traumatic stress and the way that therapists kind of not having their usual go-to sort of self-care sort of things in order to deal with the very difficult stories we have. And especially as the pandemic goes on, those therapists who are working with grief and really severe trauma of, you know, we have a number of ways that we've encouraged people before to manage their self-care. We'll get into kind of some of our tips a little bit later here in this episode, but that all of our literature around managing our own reactions, making sure that we don't take on that secondary trauma, getting into our own PTSD around client reactions is super important as this continues to go on, as people lose their despair, those grief clients that have lost people due to this, the frustrations around everything else going on in the news that really leads us to not having the self-care tools put in place to manage ourselves.
Well, and I think the piece that I've really identified is this lack of in-person community. I think that there are things, and we'll talk about this later, is to help mitigate some of the impacts of that. But I think about whether it's myself, and I've got my office mate. Well, he's going into the office, but I'm not, so I don't see him. I don't know the last time we text every once in a while, but we're pretty individual, but we'll like bop around the office and see each other. I've got a colleague downstairs that if things are going on, I'll pop down there and talk with her. Like there's not that just incidental interaction. It requires deliberate intent to have someone to consult with after a hard case, to reach out. And I think that there are ways to do that. And there may be people who are better at it than I am on a general basis, but like group practices where you're just all in the space, that's just not happening. So you don't have that community of therapists around you as much. And you're not like, I haven't been to a CAMFT meeting in forever. Right. And I have like, there's just like I'm not seeing people in person. So there's that element of just feeling very isolated in the work for myself.
And I've noticed this even in teaching. I teach at a couple of universities here, but moving into Zoom and having students who are way too polite and having their microphones off during my lecture part, I, as a more extroverted type person, you know, I crack a lot of jokes when I teach, but it's hard not getting even the feedback. And so it kind of leaves me even in the space of like, am I actually funny or is it, you know, just
like... I think that's a good question for you, Kurt.
but, you know, in determining this, and this goes back to the article here, we have this question around, are we being effective? And is therapy as effective? Mm. And I think that this is one that I really wish this article even got more in depth on, but we don't know that we're actually helping people. And even for those of us who are doing feedback-informed treatment, we're doing things like, you know, outcome rating scales and stuff, I'm noticing that people aren't improving. Now, it's not necessarily meaning that people are not getting better. I'm helping some clients evaluate that what we're doing is preventing them from getting worse.
Sure.
And I think that that's something important for us all to consider in our work right now, is if it feels like we're just trudging through things, it may be that we're actually just helping people not fall into worse situations.
Sure. And I think that there's also the readiness of each of the clients for, if you're doing telehealth, you know, a telehealth style of treatment, the acceptance of that, the what they're facing already, whether or not you were on telehealth prior. I mean, there's some clients I'm doing really intense positive work where we're making big strides, and there's some where it's, you know, which is helpful because for a period of time it felt like I was just treading water with everyone. But there are definitely clients where it is maintenance to make sure that it doesn't get worse. And it feels kind of, and I before we started recording, I said it's this kind of idea of like we're all on a plane just biding our time until we arrive. And so it's this kind of stasis almost, where there's this desire to be doing something maybe meaningful or powerful, but the recognition that there's really not, for some folks, there's not a lot we can do because the situation isn't changing. We're not changing dramatically enough to make a difference.
Thrizer is a payment platform designed for out-of-network therapy. As a therapist, you would use Thrizer to charge clients for sessions and collect your full rate upfront. From the client's perspective, Thrizer links to their health plan, so insurance claims are automatically submitted for them upon every charge. From there, Thrizer manages the claims end-to-end so that your clients don't have to worry about manually submitting super bills or getting on calls with insurance. The best part? Thrizer allows clients to only pay their co-insurance portion for sessions, while Thrizer covers the rest of your fee and waits for reimbursement on their behalf.
They also offer you an instant benefits calculator for free, allowing you to provide upfront transparency to prospective clients on their out-of-network coverage. Therapists only pay a standard 3% credit card processing fee per session with no additional fees. Visit join.thrizer.com/modern therapist to get started and use our promo code Modern Therapists to receive $2,500 in waived fees for your sessions.
And this is the last point from this article that I want to bring up, which is that they're noticing longer duration of therapy, that people who have, you know, pre-existing mental health conditions are now being faced with, you know, corona anxiety or other issues that are added on top of it. And, you know, even some of our clients that may have been more likely for short-term therapy before, after 12, 15, 20 sessions, whatever short-term therapy would have been, in normal times, they're still faced with those issues after 12, 15, 20 sessions of needing to deal with the world. And yeah. So we're seeing clients for longer periods of times. It's not feeling as effective. It's everything else that's going on with how we are managing that. Even though we don't have, you know, our commute to work anymore, I'm noticing a lot of the therapists that I'm talking to are filling in that normal commute time with more clients.
Yeah.
And when we don't have the burdens of structural things put into our day, like driving, like going to network meetings and this kind of stuff, just because that availability is not there, we're left with a lot of boredom. And yeah. I know for me, it's really easy to just be like, well, I got nothing else going on. It's easy to throw another client in my schedule right here.
Well, and I think there's a boredom and a kind of an inertia toward doing more of the same, which is I can see more clients, but I think there's also a lack of separation. And so feeling like I should be doing something right now, there's, you know, I want to distract myself, I want to do things, and there's not other ways to distract yourself. And this is obviously different for different folks. Some people have a lot of family obligations that then become the other responsibility, or dare I say burden, or those kinds of things that can then add to some of these, this need for rest and vacation and other things that we'll talk about. But there's this lack of separation that I think happens for a lot of folks where, you know, you have to kind of go back and forth between work and home all day long. And so then there's not a time where I'm like, I'm cutting off the day, or there's, you know, there's nothing else to do. So let's take another client, or for you and I, let's record another podcast episode, or let's edit one, or let's do the show notes, or, you know, whatever it is, let's start a new initiative. Let's write some new marketing copy. Like it feels like filling time with work can be a big risk, and we don't have commutes or any kind of separation to close that out, you know? And so it becomes, I think there was a meme that was going around. Do I work from home or do I live at work?
I hadn't seen that one.
So another thing that I want to make sure that we don't forget before we start getting into some more solutions, hopefully, is this financial element of it. Because as soon as the pandemic hit, and you've talked about clients losing jobs, I've had clients lose jobs. Like there's an episode from Tiffany at Hey Tiffany about raising fees in a pandemic. So I'm going to listen to that and I'll link to it in the show notes. And maybe we'll have to ask her about it when she comes on to the podcast soon. But I was planning to raise my fees in March and I did not. And I'm hearing a lot of folks who haven't raised fees, who maybe have taken on clients at lower fees or more insurance clients. I've seen people who have stagnated to a certain extent their income out of either wanting to give back or fear of losing enough revenue because of what's going to happen. We're going into a depression. And so there's potentially less match with clients. You know, there's some of the stuff that we talked about that people do at the beginning of their practice. It's too many clients, not enough income, and not really an idea of how to shift it without basically sounding like an asshole during a pandemic. So that's a whole other conversation, but I think that continues this work becomes more of a grind because you're not necessarily holding up to the highest standards of vetting clients and setting fees and that kind of stuff.
This is something where, you know, we've talked about some of this fee stuff before. We had our gaslighting mental health therapist episode earlier in the year that was talking about this pressure that was going to come on us to come and serve everybody with all of the training that we have, all of the things that we should be prepared for, that we should be excellent during this time. And not having the motivation or the capacity to put ourselves up to that high standard diminishes services. And it is something that then becomes a circle that falls, you know, spiral that ends up following on itself.
And one more thing that I think is unique to modern therapists is that, like, you and I, we have other things that we're doing. So we have the podcast, we have the conference, we have some consulting that we do. Like, there's stuff outside of the one-on-one sessions with our therapy clients. And I've been in some groups that I'm talking with, hearing a lot of lack of creativity or inspiration, a lack of motivation, potentially that Sunday night dread around whatever you've created. Like, there's this exhaustion around just everything, I think. And that's leading to the lack of creativity, the lack of inspiration, and the lack of motivation in these other things that maybe have enriched your work life in the past. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's this kind of overall malaise that has landed. And maybe, hopefully, it's not just like people are like, no, I'm fine, Katie, you're just hanging around with, you know, people that are all sad. but it seems like there's a malaise that's hit everybody. We're like, I don't know what to do. I don't want to do anything. I'm bored, but I don't want to do anything different.
And boy, does that sound like depression. But
yeah,
this, I want to pivot at this point to some of the stuff that we can be doing. And this it's not groundbreaking, because a lot of the stuff we've talked about before, even on this podcast, but it's the way to incorporate this kind of stuff into our lives during a pandemic.
Yeah.
And so this is, you know, some of our highlights from, you know, dealing with compassion fatigue, you know, structural self-care, these kinds of things. And you'd written a blog article too about some of this stuff. So I don't want to steal your thunder on this.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. I'm going to update the blog post and put it on ours, but I'll link to the article over at Brighter Vision where it's been published. Okay. So I think the biggest thing that I've found is helpful for some folks, and I want to put a caveat that none of this is necessarily simple or easy. Even it's not necessarily it's not going to necessarily solve the problem, but I think it's just a way to be more thoughtful around how you're managing your time at this point. And this, the biggest first thing is really doing a self-assessment, because I think oftentimes if we get into that kind of the trudge, the daily grind, it's just task, 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 task. It's like, okay, what do I need to accomplish today? I got this done. Okay, now I can go and Netflix and chill. And I think when we allow that to go on for too long, we end up just kind of sinking deeper into this kind of our own self-created burnout machine. And so I think being able to figure out what can change and how you can change it, even during this time, I think is really important. So the questions that I put into this, the first one is, what are my practical needs right now? And I think oftentimes there's a lot of shoulds that happen, because as entrepreneurs, and this is I've been grappling with this since the conference finished. I'm like, I should be doing so much to get prepared for 2021. I should be doing all this stuff for my consulting business. I should do all this stuff. And I'm like, no, I need to actually rest. Right. Like I recognize that. I grapple with the two different pieces there. But when we're actually looking at what do I need to do, that comes down to what your actual practical needs are. How much money do you need to make? What do you need to have on your schedule? What do you need to be doing for your family or for your loved ones? Like, what do you need to do at the bare minimum? Because I think that if you can actually get rid of the shoulds and go down to the bare minimum, it gives you at least a baseline. And you could go down to that baseline when you need to. Now, obviously, there are things that may be impacted by stuff you cannot control, like how much money you're making at different times or things that are happening with your family or illness or those kinds of things. But getting down to what absolutely do I need to make sure is in my calendar and in my task list, it can give you freedom to say no to the rest of the stuff. I'm not going to say that you're going to, because then that would be a pretty dreary life. But I think it's getting down to that.
And a large part of that is working on acceptance. It's accepting mm-hmm. the situation that you have, the situation that you're capable of doing. And
yeah.
You know, some of these projects that we've all thought about, you know, at the beginning of quarantine, we were all thinking, you know, I'm going to get so much stuff done. And then,
yeah,
then we did.
Some of it's happened, but a lot of it has not.
And it's really being able to have an honest self-evaluation, as Katie's talking about, yeah, of what you're capable of and what you need to do for yourself in order to meet your biggest priorities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for whatever your situation is, I know for me having kids, there's a, you know, really hard balance between being a parent / educator / play buddy, along with meeting all of my work requirements and having realistic expectations of all of those areas may mean cutting back on what you're capable of. You know, we're people, we're not superheroes.
Exactly. Simplified SEO Consulting's team of mental health professionals genuinely want to help you attract more of your ideal clients with a proven on-page SEO process using the strategies that are most effective for therapist websites. They know SEO is an investment, which is why it is so important to find someone who aligns with your values and understands the importance of building your private practice in a meaningful way. Simplified SEO Consulting hopes to be that team for you and your practice.
The expert team would love to talk with you during a free consultation to figure out the best fit for your SEO journey. Simplified SEO Consulting has DIY, done-with-you training, and done-for-you SEO options, so there's truly something to fit every practice owner's SEO needs. Be sure to ask if their innovative content network is a good fit for your website. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off a DIY SEO course with code MODERNTHERAPIST or mention the Modern Therapist Survival Guide podcast during your free consultation for $100 off your done-for-you SEO program onboarding this spring.
Check them out at simplifiedseoconsulting.com/modern-therapist. And that actually leads to my second question, which I think reminds me of kind of some solutions that you've come up with within your family. It's, what resources do I have available to me? Because I think oftentimes we don't initially switch from, this is me at my best, this is what I'm doing at my best, to, okay, now the things are hard. What chips can I call in? What resources can I access? What, you know, it's oftentimes difficult to make that transition, whether it's difficulty asking for help or difficulty acknowledging, like, this is a tough time and I'm not going to be able to do this on my own. And so sometimes it can be like, do I have financial reserves that can allow me to not break my back working right now? Or it could be, do I have family members who can help with childcare? Or do I have, you know, whatever it is, you know, do I have different types of spaces within my home so that I can create separation between work and home? Like, it's looking at what actually can I use that I already have or could get access to that will help me to navigate this more effectively, making sure to take care of those practical needs. Mm-hmm. So it's just a slight nuance, but I think it's an important one. And I think it's oftentimes therapists are notoriously bad at asking for help.
You hit on a point there that I want to expand on a little bit more, is if you haven't separated your workspace from the rest of what you do, do mm-hmm. it. And, you know, yeah, this is important for us to, you know, not just be sitting at our desk all day, eating our lunch in front of our computer while yeah. we scroll through social media or emails while we eat, of really chunking out your day, either physically, you know, you have your little workstation, you know, even for my kids, you know, they have their school station set up in the house. Yeah. And then that's different from where they sleep. It's different from, you know, the table where they eat. But it's also chunking out our time temporally, that we yeah. really keep those boundaries separate there too.
And I think, and I want to acknowledge that there are folks that are going to find different ways to do this. And if you don't have a physical space, it's even, you know, whether it's rituals or other ways that you close out work, even if you can't create a whole separate space. Like if you're in a studio apartment, everything is in the same room, right? So I think it's being able to either divide the room up. It can be having a way to close the laptop and put it in some, you know, put it out of sight. I think there's, you know, blocking stuff on your phone at a certain point. Like, I think it's allowing yourself to create some sort of separation in whatever way that you can.
And even if your ritual is just, you know, you put your laptop away in your laptop bag, and that signifies the end of your workday. And then you use the same laptop to go and watch Netflix, you know, take it out and have your ritual, like really just separate it out, even just that small little mental step there.
Yeah. Yeah. And if it has to be ritual versus physical, I think it can still work. I think the other thing, and this is going to a more positive place, but it's what opportunities have become available to me. And I think maybe this is a little bit too optimistic for some folks. And so if you want to throw your listening device somewhere, your phone, your laptop, whatever, at this point, feel free. Just go pick it back up for the next one. I promise I get serious again. But like, there are things that have become available. I mean, I guess we had to do this with our conference. It's like there were things that shifted for us when we had to go 100% virtual. And so we looked at those opportunities and we actually identified new speakers. We got attendees from all over the country. You know, there were things that we were able to do in a virtual space we couldn't do in a physical space. And so I think for your practice or your side hustle or whatever, there may be new opportunities that have become available to you. For your family, there may have been new opportunities that became available to you. For folks who are actually cleaning out their closets and doing home improvement projects and learning how to bake sourdough and those kinds of things, like there have been new opportunities. And so being able to identify those things so there feels a little bit of a forward progress or some taking advantage of the situation in a positive way, I think that can be pretty helpful.
I got nothing to add on that.
Okay. Well, the next one is what new challenges, threats, or risks am I facing? And I think this speaks to tempering everything else with what does it make sense to do? What might I face? And how do I mitigate risk? I think we did a full podcast episode on this. I've got a whole blog post. I'll link it in the show notes about making these complicated decisions. But I think that is another part of the assessment so that you feel like you're aligned with how you want to navigate through times that involve more risk than normal.
And I think a lot of therapists that I'm talking to at all stages of their career are operating out of a place of fear that whether it's, you know, fear of what the economy is going to look like in the next year or so, what that's going to mean for jobs, what that's going to mean as far as our fear of our physical health, our fear of, you know, going out in public to the grocery store and, you know, being on high alert that every person out there is a potential spreader of COVID.
Yeah.
That so much of this is, you know, operating out of this negative feeling space in a field that typically draws very risk-averse people in the first place.
True.
So it's being able to not look just on this side of, you know, what are our risks, but balancing out to Katie's last point of balancing out what some of those opportunities are. So that way we're not just, you know, on the negative side of the math.
Yes. Yes. And then the final part of the self-assessment, and this is also, again, looking forward, is what is my ideal situation if things do not go back to normal? And I think this was written several months ago. And I feel like it's still relevant. I think a lot of people have settled more into this is how things are going to be for quite some time. But I think it's important to identify that making a situation that actually can be sustainable, whether it's making sure that you have a good desk chair or that you've created your telehealth setup the way you wanted to, or that you've created systems in your office to keep things healthy and flowing, you know, whatever it is, you found your route for walk and talk therapy, whatever it is. Like, I think it's important to create something with the mind that it will be sustainable for the long term. And potentially this means that, you know, over time, if once we're able to go back in person, that you keep a fairly robust first part of your practice telehealth or some of these other things. Like it can be that you're shifting your whole model, or you're just really digging in and making this work so it's not, doesn't feel cobbled together. And like you're still, it's kind of like that living out of a suitcase. Like it's put your clothes in the closet, you know, settle in, unpack and live in this space while it is our space versus feel like you're constantly just waiting for things to change back.
And, you know, a couple of other tips on this, once you've done your self-assessment, is knowing how your needs kind of get met throughout the day. And yeah. This is, you know, not just waiting for the end of the workday to get away from your workspace, but taking breaks and
yeah,
not just doing one session right after the next, getting physically away from your telehealth station. It's making sure that we stay connected with other people who are going through the same things. And yeah. I know some of the absolute last things that I want to do after a full day of telehealth is like get on another Zoom call just to hang out with friends, or because it's just more, you know, screen time. But one of the things that Katie and I are bringing back here is our happy hours. We're going to be doing that once a month here for the foreseeable future, and talking with some of our people that had been coming to a lot of these over the summer with us. And they're so excited that it's coming back because it's a place of being around other people going through the same things. And yeah. It's a place to commiserate and laugh and joke about this. And some of the people who learned about these at the Therapy Reimagined conference, who are going to be able to get to know us in a little bit better way. And we encourage a lot of you to come and join us too. You know, follow us on social media to know when those are coming up. We'll include our links to those in the show notes. But it's knowing that you're not going through this alone and having the support of the community, even in kind of some unstructured ways that just allow to go and be together.
Yeah. And I think we could talk about this for probably hours, but I think some takeaways. Set reasonable expectations for yourself after a self-assessment. Be in community. We have an opportunity for you to be in community with us, but also there are a lot of opportunities to connect with fellow clinicians. And I think sometimes it's important to be in community with clinicians because there's some of this stuff that people who are not therapists just don't get. I think the other thing, and this is kind of guide you to some other episodes that maybe have helped to you, create a schedule that works for you. I think we have a couple of different episodes. I think one's It's About Time. There's the Systems of Self-Care one that we did right before we went to Kauai and then the world changed. So it is talking a little bit more specifically around in-person practices, but I think it has all of the things still hold. And I think making sure that you, like Kurt was saying, really plan your break strategically. And that means both within your day, you know, I do two sessions, a 30-minute break, two sessions, lunch, two sessions, a 30-minute break. I actually didn't yesterday. I was like, oh my gosh, this is why I had an intake. So it was longer. And I didn't get my 30-minute break. I'm like, yep, I can't do this. But making sure you're doing those within your day. But also, even though you may not have anywhere to go, even though there's not a lot of fun things that are open, and hopefully, I guess we're putting this out in a couple of weeks. So maybe it will be that you can go to places that would be more fun. Take vacation, take weekends off, like actually get away, because just day after day after day of being a therapist does not make you a good therapist. You need the downtime, you need the breaks, you need the time away. You know, I'm feeling the lack of creativity pretty acutely at times. And I know that messes me up on my side hustles and all of those things. But it also means that it can be harder to create the metaphors and see the patterns and look right at the client and understand what's happening. And so to be the best therapist that we can be, we need to get some vacations in.
Absolutely. So
figure that stuff out, guys. Figure it out. We can do it.
So we'll post links to these in our show notes, mtsgpodcast.com, and follow us on our social media. And until next time, I'm Kurt Widhelm with Katie Vernoy.
Thank you for listening to the Modern Therapist Survival Guide. Learn more about who we are and what we do at mtsgpodcast.com. You can also join us on Facebook and Twitter. And please don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any of our episodes.
Remember to check out Thrizer. They are passionate about making out-of-network therapy work for everyone. Clients save upfront on therapy while therapists earn their full rate. Get started in minutes on join.thrizer.com/modern therapist and use the promo code Modern Therapists and receive $2,500 in waived fees for your sessions.
Don't forget, we have some special offers from our partner, Simplified SEO Consulting. Get 20% off a DIY SEO course with the code MODERNTHERAPIST, or mention the Modern Therapist Survival Guide podcast during your free consultation for $100 off of your onboarding to the Done For You SEO program. Check them out at simplifiedseoconsulting.com/modern therapist.